This is Logan Sekulow. Joe Biden admits it's a crisis, but it's quickly walked back by Jen Psaki. We're going to talk about that and everything that's happening on the border today on Sekulow.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live.
President Biden over the weekend called what happened at the border a crisis. Is that now the official White House position, that there is indeed a crisis at the border?
Well, let me first say that we have made some progress in moving children from out of Border Patrol facilities into shelters. Nearly 1,000 unaccompanied minors were transferred out of CBP facilities and into the care of Health and Human Services just this weekend. We are still have a lot of work to do, but that is a step forward in our view.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president does not feel that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. He does feel that the crisis in Central America, the dire circumstances that many are fleeing from, that is a situation we need to spend our time, our effort on, and we need to address it if we're going to prevent more of an influx of migrants from coming in years to come.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow again. This is Logan Sekulow. I'm here with Will Haynes and sitting in for my dad and brother today. And man, we have an interesting topic today because the word crisis, which has been politicized for honestly, Will, reasons I'm not so sure of. Because look, as most Americans, I think we want to be given the news straight. We don't want politicizing words. We don't want you to tiptoe around ridiculousness. But Joe Biden, in a kind of hard-to-hear clip,
right,
specifically called the moment on the border, what's happening right now with all of the children, unaccompanied minors, and trust me, we're going to go through even what was just caught yesterday, will not call it a crisis. And look, we're not the ones here saying, you got to use the word crisis. You know, they have specifically said, we're not going to say this naughty word. And it's very odd. And listen, the audio is bad, but we do have it from Joe Biden. You'll hear a reporter first, and then later, Joe Biden. So, President Biden, take a listen.
And everyone on the refugee camps. How's the first word here?
We're going to increase the number. We had to. The problem was that the refugee hall was working on crisis.
Kevin.
Up on the border with young people. We did do two things at once.
The problem was the refugee part was working on the crisis that ended up on the border with young people. So use the word crisis, the big naughty word you're not allowed to say here. When there are thousands of people, there's all of the unaccompanied minors. We've seen that issue that's been going on for months now. And we've seen his poll numbers sink on this from Democrats and Republicans, from everyone, for this reason. Again, I feel like you're politicizing the wrong thing. And then you had Jen Psaki just yesterday, just to clean it up a little bit, to clarify, this isn't really a crisis. But listen to the word. I mean, you can't believe this is real. Look, we're headed to a break, so listen to this before we head to break. This is the words coming from Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The president does not feel that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. He does feel that the crisis in Central America, the dire circumstances that many are fleeing from, that is a situation we need to spend our time, our effort on, and we need to address it if we're going to prevent more of an influx of migrants from coming in years to come.
Unbelievable. The president does not feel, I mean, listen to this, that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. How out of touch and how politically semantic do you have to be to realize how ridiculous you sound? We're talking about humanitarian issues here. Look, we are not, we've always had, we need to have immigration reform. We've said that on this show many times. We are not the people who are coming up with, over-the-top ridiculous things. But when you hear stuff like that, it has to infuriate you because, again, they're not giving it to you straight. They came up with some political game that, for some reason, the word crisis is something we can't say, and it's a distraction of really what's going on and really what's happening. I want to hear from you right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Call right now. I want to get your comments. Also, Mike Pompeo joining us in just a couple segments. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo again. This is Logan Seculo. We're talking about the situation at hand, Will, the crisis, if you will, that is coming.
Depends
from,
on who you're asking, I know. Though. That's a very clear thing we have to.
You know, Karl Rove called it. We just played it, and if you're watching online, you may have seen that clip, and we'll probably play it. He called it a slip of honesty of what's happening again. All of these things come in to be distractions, because what's really important is all of these children, all these people who are coming across the border, and causing, you know, some of this chaos. We see what even just happened in the last day, just in the last day. And look, I have to say this. We say crisis. It's not like, again, that word has the power that we didn't empower that word. What they've done is politicize that word to where they can't say it. Now it's clearly a press secretary. And this is when we have a big issue here in America, because we aren't given the honest truth. We're giving some weird political spin. And as one of our producers said, she said it's a dire situation.
Dire circumstance. You know, yeah.
In a dire circumstance, just by its pure definition and synonyms of the word, are dreadful, appalling, shocking, alarming. In other words, a crisis. You know, this is where it's political backspeak. It makes no sense. And us as American people have to look at it and go, I can't believe this is what we're being fed. It's true on both sides a lot of times, because stuff gets really hairy and really confusing. And look, there isn't simple answers to this. But what isn't the answer is to like try to play a mind game with people and use words. We saw this during COVID. We're seeing it during all of these other situations. Like buzzwords and catchphrases become right and left. And we don't need to live in a country that's like that. Again, I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. But listen, this is not a crisis. Here's just yesterday. Things that were, and people that were caught at the border dealing with the situation. A man arrested a child, convicted of child abuse, a rape suspect, a 4-time felon, gang member. They also rescued an unaccompanied 15-year-old pregnant migrant child and a woman who's trying to sneak in 21 pounds of heroin and cocaine stashed in her car. So we have people smuggling drugs, and who knows if these people who are actually doing it are even to blame in this situation. A lot of these people are paid and they are, you know, sadly slaves to the system. And then you have a situation like a pregnant, unaccompanied 15-year-old migrant child who, again, that's not a crisis. There's nothing going on there.
Right. And that's not taking away the humanitarian crisis that exists there, right?
Like, right.
Who does she think is her audience in this? Because It's been known that this is a humanitarian crisis for a long time. And when we see the numbers of detained children or children that were picked up and you see the toddlers that are tossed over the wall, that's a crisis. Yeah. You can admit reality, but they won't believe what is right in front of them.
We're a country built on heart and built on faith and built on American freedoms. And sure, there are situations at hand where you look at it and go, what's the true motives behind some of the people that are coming over the border, the people who are bringing heroin or bringing drugs in, or maybe it's just the fact that they're being trafficked in. There are horrible things happening. But us as Americans, I understand. Look, I'm one of you right here looking at you if you're watching on Facebook or watching on YouTube or however you get this show. It says, I have a heart for this. I care. Like this, I'm not one of these people who's like, you know, just keep everyone out. Wait, the country is built on immigration. But this is not the solution. And honestly, to not identify a problem, to be Vice President Harris and not go visit the border yet, though you've been the one who's been tagged with it to say that you're going to lead this, because we know President Biden can't handle it. Vice President Harris, you're going to go handle this. And someone who won't even visit the situation ahead, who won't even go handle the current problems that are happening. And look, the numbers are showing. Well, not the poll numbers matter all that much at this point right now, because we are, but it shows you where the American people are. And you have seen it plummet. Only 17% of independents and only 32% of Hispanics approve of this, approve of the way this is being run. And there's more numbers here too, as well, throughout this a packet that we have here. You're right. It's irresponsible. It makes me very upset because, again, when you start showing videos, when we see the images of what this looks like for the children, we see people get children literally getting thrown across border walls. It's heartbreaking, and it's something we should have a real problem with. But the solution isn't to just sweep it under the rug and ignore. And, Will, I think you have a bite you want to play. So I think we need to clarify the stance that's going on.
Well, in a press gaggle yesterday, the vice president was asked about this, and she gave an answer about what her focus is, because as we said, she's been tasked with dealing with this non-crisis.
Yeah.
So let's hear what Vice President Harris had to say yesterday by 11.
We're looking at my focus, which is a diplomatic focus on the Northern Triangle. It is about bringing together, as I did now, I think a couple of weeks ago, the members of the cabinet. And the progress there is that Commerce, for example, is going to host a virtual trade mission. The Department of Agriculture, under the leadership of Secretary Vilsack, is increasing its focus on the work that needs to happen to support the agricultural efforts of that region. We're bringing together USAID, which is increasing its work around its program that is focused on disaster relief.
They can't be allowed to get away with this being their narrative. Because imagine if a conservative or Republican vice president was tasked with this.
Right.
And they said, look, we know that it's at all-time record highs, but guess what? We're going to have a virtual trade mission summit with the Commerce Department, and it's going to fix it. It's really going to alleviate the problems of people fleeing drastically from dire circumstances, which is the words of this administration.
Not a crisis, just dire.
I really think that virtual trade mission is going to be the thing that fixes this entire non-crisis.
Yeah, I don't understand, again, the bait and switch, if you will, of what's going on here, where we're expected, as the American people, to ignore what's happening just because you align with a certain political view. And I felt that way in the Trump administration. I felt that way in all administrations. There's always political backspeak. There's always stuff that's happening. And we are at the point with social media, with news media, and how it's handled, that we shouldn't just take what is given to us, because we know it's all spin. Yes, Jen Psaki's entire job is to spin. I understand that. I'm not ignorant to that. However, when her instructed things are to spin just a word, it does tell you that where the importance lies with this administration. The importance lies of creating a facade that everything is okay. When I believe as American people, we can handle the fact, we can all deal with personally, that there are crises and there are things that are happening within our country that are disgusting, immoral, and really should upset you and be disturbing to you. They're happening in all of your cities. It's not just on the border. We're seeing it everywhere. But we are supposed to ignore it. because it doesn't fit a political narrative. And that's always what I've said to you. That's always what I've said is, if it doesn't fit the narrative, they're never going to tell it to you straight. You're never going to hear honest words coming from people's mouths. And the fact that we are even doing a show on the fact that Joe Biden said the word crisis and then the word crisis was walked back shows you a very sad state of where our country is. That is news. Because we are lied to all the time. We are sugarcoated all the time. And we are having to break down that wall to keep moving this country forward. If not, you get 4 years down the road, guess what? We're going to be in the same mess we're in right now. You get four more years down the road, even if it switches parties, same mess, because nothing moves, because we're not being told the truth. And when I look at what's happening, but you know what? The truth is out there, if you will. It's out there. Because when you see videos of children being thrown over the wall, if you see images of these facilities filled to the brim of children, unaccompanied minors, or you see the fact that your teachers aren't allowed to teach in school, but they're allowed to go teach in these facilities, we know the disparity is there. We know that there are real humanitarian issues, but focusing on a word, and I will say that for both sides, focusing on a word is not going to solve any problem. So let's move on, give it to us straight, talk like a human being, and let's not focus on ridiculousness.
Well, and I think it shows that they don't have a cohesive strategy. When you see what Vice President Harris is saying about it's going to be virtual summits, and then you see that they're trying to not admit that they're closing some of the border gaps, and then you see some of the deals they make with Mexico that we can get into in further segments, that it shows that they really are just kind of throwing the proverbial spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, and trying to weather this crisis instead of being an administration that will lead on this issue. And I think it's something that the base that elected the Biden administration wanted a cohesive strategy on this.
Specifically,
didn't want them to just fly by night and figure it out as they go. They wanted this to be something that was focused
on. Yeah, comprehensive immigration reform and to fix this problem. Look, you had celebrities. Idina Menzel, I remember saying she tweeted out that her son was so thrilled because when Joe Biden won, he said, no more kids in cages, which we all knew was a narrative. But now it comes down to it, and guess what? Not only the same, but much worse of what's happening. We all know that's true. Hey, coming up next segment, Mike Pompeo is joining us. We're going to talk about this, and we're also going to talk about what's going on in China. But I want to hear from you in the segment following that. I'm going to take lots of calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo again, sitting in for my dad and my brother, joined by Will Haynes, executive producer of Seculo. He's sitting in here. We are joined by very special guest, the former Secretary of State and Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ, Mike Pompeo. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Logan.
We got to start here. And look, we're going to talk about China. We're going to get there. But we're coming off a couple segments specifically about the border crisis, or the lack of crisis, or the word crisis, the over-politicization of that word. And I have a question for you. We've seen poll numbers plummet specifically on what's going on with immigration. However, they won't call it a crisis. And I feel like we've politicized a word, and they've politicized a word for maybe absolutely no reason. And it kind of is a distraction, if you will, for really what's going on. But what do you think they're trying to accomplish here by denying the reality that we can all see very clearly?
It's a good question. I can't figure out the word game either. Call it a crisis, call it a catastrophe, call it a disaster, call it whatever one may. What we know is there's a real risk to American security if we don't have sovereignty at our southern border. They've given that up by allowing these people to travel into our country who aren't here lawfully and then releasing them inside of the country. The humanitarian calamity as well. I won't use the word crisis. Humanitarian calamity. Young kids, women being trafficked across our border and the coyotes and cartels preying on them. These are things that are bad. I don't know why they've shied away from using that word. I'm happy to use whatever word they'd like. What I'd really like to see are actions that will protect American sovereignty and stop this trafficking across our border.
That's what's important. And that's what I was trying to get to our audience is, you, even as conservative news, you'll see them focusing on, oh, he used a word, didn't use a word. That's one of the more ridiculous talking points I've ever seen, because this should not be the conversation. This show should not be about the fact that Joe Biden, President Biden, said the word crisis and then they walked it back. What should be the content is the actual issue at hand, which is all the things you just laid out. And speaking of other issues, yesterday we spent a lot of time, the whole show, on what was going on with China and the dealings that John Kerry had with China, essentially creating a agreement, if you will, for climate change and for, you know, to fix those sort of issues. While we're dealing with, you know, what you famously said, you know, making this a genocide of what's happening in China, why do you think that this operates in a vacuum, to where we have a genocide that's happening? We have China, who has major human rights and other violations. On the other hand, though, where they're signing these agreements for climate change.
You know, it's a real head scratcher to see how they have subverted all the important things that really matter to America to a Secretary Kerry climate change first policy. It's really weird, right? Because they know, too, it's genocide. Secretary Blinken said so as well. We know what's happening here in the United States. We know they've tried to steal our intellectual property. They've taken millions of jobs. We know they released the Wuhan virus on the world and covered it up. And yet somehow, I think the Chinese Communist Party has convinced the administration, if we promise you something on climate, if we pretend that we're going to reduce the number of coal-fired power plants that we increase by every year, if we do these things, then all will be well in our relationship. That is an enormous sacrifice for American security to the altar of the Green New Deal.
And we talked about this. They're barely even pretending. You know, if you looked at really what China had to say, they were like, oh, yeah, well, maybe we'll get to it. It wasn't even like a hard, yes, this is work together. It was more like John Kerry, we're going to self-regulate ourselves and let's hope they do the same. You know, it was.
No, goodness. Yeah. This will prove to be a charade. They'll make no firm commitment, and whatever ephemeral promise that they make, they will violate, just as they've violated all the others. It's a shame that they appear to have fallen for this Chinese Communist Party parlor game trick and are going to sacrifice American security to get there.
Now, Secretary Pompeo, you brought up that Secretary Blinken has had some tough statements recently regarding China and genocide and urging other nations to join together to kind of help put a stop to this and not to encourage or enable this in some ways. But it almost seems to put him at odds with what the climate czar Kerry's agenda is on this China deal. we know that John Kerry subverted the foreign policy of the Trump administration with the Iran back dealings, but is he now actually subverting the foreign policy of the Biden administration?
It's always a concern when you have someone like Secretary Kerry who is going to go around and make climate change the signature issue for the administration when Secretary Blinken's got a much broader, much deeper, much more difficult task in front of him. I hope it's not the case. I hope the administration is speaking with a singular voice. Secretary Blinken has done good work. His language on China has been good. His language on genocide has been good. Now they need to take actions that reflect what Secretary Blinken has said. And I hope that we don't have a former secretary out giving a different message than the current Secretary of State. That would send missed signals that would confuse the world and it would put America at risk.
I think, Will, that's right. I think a lot of people don't even understand necessarily these positions. When you hear the climate czar, it doesn't necessarily click of who this person is. I think because we are so used to John Kerry and other roles, as you said, Mike, that it's an odd situation to put them in, because it does feel like there's two different administrations talking. And you have Blinken, who, like you said, we've had many moments now that we've agreed with him on. And we've had, you know, some pretty strong rhetoric coming from him. But then when you have on the opposite side, I mean, how do you deal with that within an administration that if you're China, who are you listening to?
It's complicated. Don't forget there'll be other voices as well. The responsibility of the president is to make sure that there's a single policy, a single set of priorities. Ours were pretty clear.
Yeah.
America first. Secretary of State's running that foreign policy for me. We're going to place America's security at the top of the list. Everything else will be subservient to that. We did that well, and it meant we could protect religious freedom around the world, human rights around the world. We could get hostages back from around the world. We could do each of those things while preserving American security. I hope they'll find a voice, a single voice, and then a single set of policies that they deliver against. If they do, America will be far better off for it.
Thanks. We only have a couple minutes here, but I do want to kind of address this question quickly and take it as you will. I think the American people hear this and they go, well, we obviously know we deal with China a lot. Like I said, looking at the equipment that's around us, there's no way this show is probably on the air without things manufactured in China. So how does the United States actually come to these agreements when you know we have to work with them in some sense, but on the other side, we have extreme, like I said, genocide happening and other horrible human rights violations?
So it's very complex. We have spent 40 years engaging with China, drawing closer to them economically. We now have deep interconnections. We need to begin to move past that and unwind that. We can no longer adopt a policy that says for a ration of porridge, we will trade American security. So we need to make sure that these companies all understand they are American companies. They benefit from being American companies. When it comes to American national security, we need every company to understand their supply chain, know what the risk is to the United States, and begin to unwind in a way that protects America's interests. It will not happen overnight. It won't happen in a week, but it's got to happen.
Thank you so much, Secretary Pompeo. It was great to have you on today's show to really break this down. This is why we have voices like Secretary Pompeo, who, again, for the ACLJ, for you guys listening, is our senior counsel for global affairs. Go take a look at the website. You're writing terrific things. There's blogs that are going up every week from Secretary Pompeo. If one's not up, it's going to be up very soon. A brand new one. Go check out our website. Again, we're in the middle of a matching challenge at ACLJ, and we could use your support. And things like this, where are you going to get analysis like this? Nowhere else on the planet. And that's thanks to all of you who support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Not only will you be able to donate, and right now, again, it's a matching challenge, which means if you give $10, it becomes $20. Look, we're heading towards the end of the month. If you give $100, it's $200, or someone there matching your donation. We appreciate that very much. So we can keep doing this for you and also all the legal work. If you want to find out more about what we do, again, ACLJ.org, or download the ACLJ app in the App Store and tell people about this show. We're coming up with questions and comments. I look forward to hearing from you guys on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.